Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Williams Project podcast. Today, we are going to be discussing sales and sales management with Stephen Pike.
Hi, Matthew.
Hello, Stephen. Very exciting episode today. We have essentially one of the longest serving members of the corporation, Stephen Pike, who runs our Auckland sales team slash I remember flying here, 3 years ago?
With a suitcase and an apartment.
And we went to that apartment we lived there together and we'd have client meetings in the apartment.
Absolutely. It was fun.
Was really fun. So let's start with, for the listener, obviously there'll be lots of people who are familiar with who you are, people who follow the company, but there'll also be some people who only follow this podcast who aren't. So what's your background that made you who you are?
Right, so my background is I actually worked with your father, as you know, when it was Horncastle Homes, which is one of the largest group housing companies back in the day. And I was with Bill Horncastle for about 15 years and started off as a sales consultant. And I remember starting, I came from a marketing and sort of banking background. Your father said to me, oh, I don't think you're going to make it. I said, really? So, true story.
So you were in, before that, you're in a marketing company, and before that, the bank.
I was in the bank, So I had a banking background. I always had a liking for people and doing business with people.
And property,
And property, of course, So yeah, I had a really good run for father. Of course, he retired very successfully, as you know. And then I remember tapping on the shoulder one day at a cafe around Cathedral Square. You know, they went near the wee tiny office. Remember the office? It looked like a dairy.
It did look like a dairy. And so when you, that leads me on to our next question. Your first day at Williams Corporation, do you remember what it looked like?
I do, yeah.
So. And how long ago is this?
4.5 years ago.
I reckon it might even be 5.5. I don't know.
I don't know. Time
goes. Do you remember what year?
No,
I don't remember.
No, I don't remember either.
Quite a while, but also not that long in the scheme of things.
Yeah. So what I remember turning up, and I always wore a suit and tie and jacket. And I turned up, and you and Blair were wearing white t-shirts and jeans and old sneakers, and this place that looked like a dairy. And there was you, Blair, and Catherine. Oh, and Blair's mother. Gail,
yeah, was Scott with us at that
stage? No, Scott didn't start.
Oh, wow, yeah, that was really early days.
Yeah, so you'd start off in Central City, and you're doing those wee townhouse developments around Central Town. And I think back then it might have been, I started 30 to 45 sales a year.
I remember there was a goal of one a week.
Yeah.
And then we changed it to 20 a month. But I can't remember. You would have been coming in right when we were about to hit one a week.
Yeah.
And then we just tripled it.
I just went nuts.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun times. Yeah,
it was. Just went nuts.
And we wrote, I remember, in the first meeting I had with you, you said, I'll start, but you need a CRM, and I'm not starting until you have a CRM.
That's a good story, actually. So this is a true story for the listeners. So when I started, there was no database, and someone rang up or make an inquiry. It might have been through Trade Me, I can't remember, but people rang up, and I get these leads, and I'd say 60% of them had no phone number. Remember this?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we didn't know how to make the field compulsory back then.
True, and you felt sorry for me. So what you would do is you would go through and you'd just load people on the database. Some people I won't talk about who they were.
There were some pranks put in.
Yeah, it was pranks. Yeah, but it was fun. But then we set up the first database, Zendesk. No, it was called
Base back then.
Base.
And
Base
then area. Zendesk bought Base.
Yeah, that's right. And we started to build a database.
Yeah.
So we started with zero.
And now it's like more than a quarter of a million.
280,000.
Yeah, it's heaps. It's amazing. Five years.
Amazing.
Yeah. And that's, but then again, that's probably cost about 11 million in marketing to get those quarter of a million people.
Yeah.
So what would be, so you come in, I remember you and I writing most of our systems. We didn't even have a spec.
We had nothing.
Yeah. It was just a sale and purchase agreement.
It was a plan, which we printed off the photocopier in A4. No spec. But we did have some finished houses.
Yes, we did.
Remember? Yeah. We used to drive them around and show them what we did.
And houses under construction.
Correct. Yeah.
We must have had, at that time, it must have been that 16 Bucklew Street development, maybe? The one with the garages? Or was it some of the one beds without?
You had that one in Papanui.
Grants Road.
Yeah, Grants Road. And you had a couple of rentals.
So. Yeah. And that was just as we were making the transition from city fringe to city development. Yeah. I remember it was quite a key time.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I want. So then we dominate Christchurch, right? We become the largest builder in Christchurch.
Yeah.
I have to say though, for if Mike Greer is listening, we are still the second largest builder in Canterbury, if you include the regions Mike beats us. So I have to point out that to make sure the data's fair. So we nailed that. We had a good time, and then you flew up to Auckland.
With you?
Yeah. And we lived in that wee apartment. You can actually see it. You can actually see it from this apartment. We're currently sitting in my apartment drinking a nice bottle of tomato wine, looking out over the beautiful Auckland Harbour. There's a big super yacht coming in, which some legend is on. But so to the story. So we came up. We rented an apartment. We used to do client meetings. It was two bedrooms, so we'd live on site. We'd do client meetings in the living room.
That's right.
Yeah, and we did. And now we've built up. We're not where we want to be. We're about the fourth
I think,
biggest builder. It depends what day you read the data.
Yeah.
But there's only one place, and that's first, and we're going to beat Fletcher's.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been a really fun ride. I think you've quit a couple of times and probably been sacked a couple of times. And
well, that's part of the job.
So now I reckon we can have two really good discussions. One, so you've always been, at the end of each year, our top salesperson. For the first year ever, you've got some competition this year.
Which
is
great.
Good.
Which is good.
That's how it should be.
It's good.
Right, so you were our first salesperson. You've always ended the year number one. What would be some advice you have about selling in the sales process? Let's say I was a young buck who started working for you.
Yeah, yeah.
How would you teach me?
Well, this is my view, it might not be yours, but I always say we're in the people business first, all right?
Mm.
And if you don't love people, and if you don't enjoy helping people, if you're not responsive to people, well, then you're gonna lose the battle. Because it's not about the money, it's not about a process, it's about the enjoyment of actually being with people, helping people, and knowing also you've got a very good product behind you.
Yeah.
Because our brand's very strong anyway, right?
Agreed.
So people know us. But as a consultant, if you don't give people time and being responsive and do the right thing by them, you're always gonna lose. Because you might get the one hit sale, but you won't get that future business or those referrals. But that's from my point of view.
I call them the trip over deals.
It. But you have to love what you do, and it's a very time consuming business, as you know.
Yeah.
So if you don't enjoy it, money won't solve that problem for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. I do always think about that. We're in the service business.
We're people business.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really good. Really, because it doesn't matter if you have the best product in the world.
It means nothing.
If you don't meet a customer, show them the product, look after them, help them in the purchasing process.
Yeah.
In construction, it's not like other industries where the purchasing process is automated.
Yep.
Like if you go and buy insurance, you can go buy it online, or you buy this bottle of wine, you can buy it online. But the property business never really made it online, because each transaction's unique. Each customer has a different set of requirements to make the transaction happen.
Yep.
And that's where the broker / salesperson becomes very important in that process, because they have to match the person to the product to the terms.
Yeah. But one thing I'll say about what you've done and believe done well for the business is that you make customers for life. And you look at many situations, and I don't want to knock real estate agents. I know a lot of great real estate agents out there. Some are really good friends of mine. But the ones that do well are the ones that always keep the communication going with those customers for lifetime.
Yeah.
Because there are too many one-hit salespeople out there, and it doesn't do the business, or it doesn't do any favours either as a salesperson.
Yeah.
And I think that's from Williams Corporation, that people understand we're good people.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And I listen to you. I'll say my opinion of how you sell.
Sure.
And you tell me if you agree with it or not. There's lots of different selling techniques, right? And all of them have their pros and cons. Like, for example, Ben, who works for us, Ben's like the relatable, kind uncle. He's the person that chats with you and you feel like he's your Uncle Ben, and you build a relationship that way. The way I see you is I see you like a doctor, right? Where you sit down, you tell the customer, tell me your pain, tell me what you're trying to solve, and then you give them a prescription. So you're like, what are you trying to do? How much money have you got? Right, I've got something that'll work for you.
Yeah, here's a solution.
I want to help you. Yeah, and you really do sell as an expert from a position of authority. Not talking down in that way, but it's very much, it's the same. I watch your interaction with customers and it's very similar to how I see a doctor with a patient. Mm. And obviously it works because you're a top. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. And it's like any business, I suppose. I'm not saying I'm perfect at it, but you have to be an expert now. Mm. Because gone the days, you can walk someone through a house and go, this is a beautiful carpet, look, a great paint job, and got heat pumps. Those days are gone because you can't take orders anymore. So people, I suppose, are looking at professional salespeople as experts in what they do.
Yeah.
And you've got to have good data, you've got to be accurate,
yeah.
and you've got to do the right thing by people. Mm. That's where the market is today.
Yeah, agree.
Because 18 months ago, I could put a monkey with a suit on in the office, give him a pen and a piece of paper, and most people would have sold a house.
They would have.
So it's quite a different scenario now.
Yeah. No, and you're right. But also, I still firmly believe the best thing the customer can do is buy. Especially from us, but that's almost irrelevant.
Yep.
But like, I still believe in property as an asset class, and I still believe that people owning their house, because the best thing about property, and I discussed this in a podcast with Matt Harris,
yep.
property is such a fantastic trap of wealth.
Yep.
It's just your mortgage, all that, everything. Like if you had that money in your bank account or in shares or in an asset that's easier to liquidate,
yep.
you can see how people just lose the money into the abyss.
Of course. And now here's a simple question. Do you think property will be cheaper in 10 years time than it is today?
I cannot see any. So one, yep. no. Yep. Two, I can't see any data that would say
it
so.
It just can't support it.
Yeah.
You've got inflation pressure, your land prices, population. It just never happened in New yeah. Zealand.
When was the last time you heard one of the following statements? Labour just got cheaper. People's wages are now down. They've just decreased minimum wage. When have you heard the council has reduced a whole lot of bureaucracy, making paperwork easier?
Yeah.
When have you heard materials such as timber, gravel, all the things making a house have got cheaper?
Never.
Like never. When have you heard taxes being decreased? Never. Right?
Oh, it has been decreased a little bit.
But
I know.
But I'm talking about like what would be something that would decrease prices.
Yeah.
And I've, in my life, in my career, 11 years, I've never seen one, let's just be really crude and say there's 10 contributing factors, right? Population growth, blah, blah, blah. I've never seen one of them head down, let alone all 10 of them. And you're right, there could be one where taxes come down a bit, population slows, whatever. But of the 10 factors, they're all charging. Like building materials are inflating at 3 times inflation.
Is it about to happen? Is it 2% a month? What is it?
As a rough rule of thumb, I saw a study, I should find it and put it in this podcast. It was something like, if you would go back 10 years, building materials always moved 3 times inflation.
Right, yeah.
So if inflation on average was 2%, building materials was 6. If inflation now is 6, buildings running at 18, that's about right.
Yeah, it is.
Right, so it's really interesting.
Yeah.
So now, that's a sales. Do you have any other advice you want to talk about sales? Because I'm going to move on to sales management.
No, keep going. Yeah, it's fine.
Now, this is a whole other skill, right? Because salespeople, God bless them, are a very difficult personality to manage. And you run a team of 16 people, but you're an influential key person to our entire sales team of 88 people. Talk about sales management and people management when you're now trying to
okay look, in our business, and I hope you agree with us, you don't want 88 people all the same, because every customer you deal with is different.
I agree.
And there could be customers that don't want to perhaps necessarily deal with me, but they might want to deal with Joe Smith who works for me.
They might be a woman that's divorced that wants to deal with another woman. It might be someone that's Mandarin speaking, wants to deal with Mandarin speaking consultant.
Yep.
Someone who's Christian that wants someone that's Christian as well, so they share the same value system, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep. We're in the people business. And everyone's quite different. And as a business of our size, you have different people dealing with different people. That's my view. I don't believe we've got any bad salespeople, because we've always employed good people.
Agreed.
Right, in the heart. Work ethic is another point to discuss, I suppose. But I would say that 98% of our people have strong work ethic because they love the business.
Well, I think every now and again we fluster them.
Yeah, I think so.
But it's also a big business with a lot going on.
It's a big business, a lot going on. Yeah. You know, but they're all good people. And again, that's how we've run our business.
Yeah. Well, did you see what was really interesting? I published on the company report, the average sales of someone that's been with us for more than 12 months was 19.7 transactions.
This is the 20 a year we want.
Which is, it was honestly to the T.
Yeah, and they make the 200 calls a week, five visits.
Yeah.
Because the data tells it all.
Yeah, so for the listeners, there's multiple rules for working for Williams Corporation, but essentially you need to be able to sell houses, buy land, and raise capital. And you need to manage a healthy pipeline for all three aspects of the business. You need to do 200 calls logged into our management system, and you need to do five formal presentations. So roughly, of those 200 calls, you meet 100 people will answer. Of those 100 people answer, about seven will book an appointment with you, and about five will show up,
pretty much. Yeah, pretty much.
Right? And so you do five formal presentations a week. And of those five formal presentations a week, so 50, let's say they work 46 weeks of the year, right? Being crude.
Yeah.
And of those 46 weeks, you'll do 20 pieces of business.
Yeah.
And it's you can set your watch to it.
Yep.
Yes. And even with the market harder, so this year is definitely harder than it was last year.
Yeah, it is, but one thing I will say, a level of inquiry is still the same.
It is.
So if the level of inquiry had dropped significantly while people weren't inquiring, then hey, you've got a problem.
Yeah.
But all that's happening at the moment is that people are there, they're buyers, but they're going through the natural human behavior, think, oh, you know, what's going on with him, the price, him, the
interest rates. I don't want to buy and it drops.
Correct. Yeah. But what happens is I've been through it twice. Once that floodgate opens slightly, people see consistency. Those buyers are still there.
Yeah.
They don't go away.
Yeah.
And they start to flow through.
Yeah. And they remember who treated them with respect, showed them the
product. Keep talking to them, gave them data, keep in touch with them, build the trust and relationship. And they do come back.
Yeah.
And I've been through it before.
Yeah. So sales management though, you're dealing with 16 strong personalities.
Yeah.
How do you manage that as a manager? Because I would say sales management is probably the hardest part of our business.
I think the key thing is, and look, I don't always get it right. No one's perfect, but you need to lead by example. And I think that's the first thing. If you front up, show up, you do the right thing by the customer, you're tidy in your paperwork, you're making your calls, you're doing your visits. I think leading by example is the first thing, and you're sharing your knowledge.
Yeah.
So it's no good having a lot of people keeping the knowledge to yourself. Yeah. You've got to employ people that are going to be better than yourself. And that's the right thing by the business, because I won't be here forever.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm already 28. Started when I was two. So he's got to bring people through the business. And, and you're doing that in other parts of the business too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? You've got to have redundancy programs.
Even to myself.
Succession.
For the first time, I did a podcast recently about how I'm going to be replaced and what that process looks like. Because the business isn't, you're actually there. When you started, all the videos are me. And there was a moment I came and sat down with you and Blair and I said, this isn't the Matthew Horncastle show anymore. Everyone else has to get in front of the camera. Yep. And I said, I'm out. Yep. Because this is where a criticism of Elon Musk, I think is, and it's pretty dumb to criticize the richest man on earth, but if he walked out down the road and got hit by a bus tomorrow,
I'd be carnage.
Those stocks would fall through the floor.
Yeah, they would.
Where I truly believe if I got hit by a bus, the company's now stronger than me. Yes, I would hope. I don't hope to be a dip. But I believe I'm important and I believe I add value, but I believe that the business is matured past.
The business is bigger than one person.
Exactly. Bang.
And that's pretty much the answer.
Yep. And
whether
it has to be.
Whether it be you or Catherine or whoever it might be.
It has to be. Because think of the shareholders, think of the customers. You can't have a key person die and then you call your customer, sorry, you can't have your house anymore.
Yeah, or the thing you're an investor, $150 million in the fund.
So, exactly.
You know, you've got big responsibilities to make sure the business continues from strength to strength.
Yeah. So sales management, what would be, can you cut it into leading by example? Sharing data, would there be some other key areas that make it?
Yeah, look, every sales manager maybe runs his own way differently, but I try as much as I can to meet every customer that comes through the door, attend meetings, because a client consultant might pick up on certain messages in the way I deliver something. They won't deliver it the same way.
Mm.
but they might see a pattern of key trigger points. So I just think it is about just spending time with people.
Like you're very good at recording videos and sharing that.
Yeah, well, you are too. I mean, you know, like, you always meet a customer and then walk through the door. So you're not too big to go and meet a customer. Because you always say, without the customer, we've just got no business.
No business. It's two parts to it. Without the customer, there's no business. And without the salespeople. I do try my hardest, even when salespeople annoy me, to put the entire sales team on a pedestal, because without the sales team, we don't exist.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? But also, I think something like needs to be discussed. Salespeople aren't normally detail people.
No, they're not. They're horrible.
So essentially, you have to take someone where detail isn't in their nature, but you're still selling a $700,000 asset, and it requires detail for a contract, for a...
Yep.
So it's quite an interesting dichotomy.
It is, and I hope none of my client consultants are listening to this podcast, because I'd rather get someone on paper sometimes and clean up behind them, but and train the consultant afterwards. Like, we had some deals today.
Yeah, today we sold two houses from your team.
The contracts are completely wrong. The customer really hasn't got a contract, but we'll sort that out tomorrow with the customer. Yep. But the fact is, the customer's agreed to buy one of the homes, and we've got to tie the paper.
And we'll get that right.
That's a learning exercise for that new consultant.
Yeah.
So that,
you know, and there's a component of our contract. There is the odd time where our contract's final, but 90% of our business, we say to the customer, this is about you picking a house.
Absolutely.
We'll take it off the market for 2 weeks.
That's it.
And then you have 2 weeks, check with your finance, check with your happy. We'll take you out to the display home again. We're going to make sure that during that 2 weeks, we don't really hard sell ever.
Never
the
hard
odd
sell.
Time on like a release, if there's a key unit where everyone's going to try buy, there's the odd hard sell. Yeah. But 90% of our business is a soft sell.
But if you look at our contracts, I think we're one of the few development companies who've got a clause in there saying that the client can cancel for any reason.
Yeah, imperative.
Any reason. I have to give a reason.
Yeah.
All right. And I always say to a customer, hey, look, you're not committed to anything. It's an option to purchase. But if you're 80% there, I'll give you the option and we keep talking.
Yeah.
If you change your mind tomorrow, next week, still my friend, we'll try and find something else for you.
Yeah.
And that's a good way we do business. So some of our development companies, whoa, it's like they're selling cars or a fridge.
What Gold Coast Property Night. That was where they lock the doors, fill you with booze, and you walk out with some apartment that was overvalued.
Yeah, we just don't need to do that.
Everything in our entire career, everything's sold anyway. And we also have a big balance sheet to keep a lot on top.
Of course.
Which I've never, like I personally want to build a big Williams Corporation balance sheet, and we've delivered almost 1,400 houses now, and I only own 17. And I wish, actually, in hindsight, my personal wealth would have increased a lot more if I'd kept more property.
Of course.
And actually, there's always a reason why my investments, you're guilty of it, everyone's guilty of it, some special customer always needs one of my investment properties for some
special
reason.
Which you have done, and Blair's done the same.
But every single time, not every, big majority of the time.
You have. And I've made a lot of money, the customers.
They have. I still remember being in my office one day explaining that some customer had to buy one of my properties because it had a street access for his motorbike to be wheeled into. There's always some special reason.
It's always
reason.
A story.
Yeah, there's always a story.
Always a story.
So, and also, I think one other thing about you and the business that needs to be discussed, you're a top performer, but also we've had a really good relationship, like you and me, is where it's past the business relationship. We truly have a friendship.
Yep, known for a long time.
Yeah, and I look at my personal time and who I'd go and have dinner with, and it's when I'm in Auckland, I come and see you.
Yeah, you do.
And I think that's part of why we've been so successful, is what we do is hard. Yeah. I think the listener doesn't quite understand how brutal it is.
It is brutal.
And you need the people around you to actually have a trust and a care.
Yeah, because you're bouncing things off all the time. And, it's like,
You need the odd rant every now
and again. Yeah, of course.
And I think also one other thing, you hold the record in the company for the most sales to one customer.
I did too.
Yeah. 32?
Yeah, it's a good story actually. Yeah. Client consultant, so I'm not going to mention any names, but I was at an open day one day, and it was this couple, it was busy, and it was a couple standing in the corner, and I was talking to them, So we had a chat to them. And cut a long story short, ended up having lunch with both, and I found out that we actually purchased a section from this particular first development. And this person said to me, this gentleman with whom I have lunch with you, and that person is now a very good friend of mine, and purchased 32 homes from us.
Yeah.
So it just shows you don't know who you meet.
Agreed.
But you always give people time.
I've got a story very similar to that. Not that I did business, but I've drank too much, and it's something that, not drink too much, like not that bad, I'm making it sound worse than it is, but alcohol is definitely something that most men, especially, and young men need to be careful of, because alcohol is a drug and it's quite bad.
Yep.
And I've made a real effort recently to drink significantly less than I used to. Now, so now when I go out, I'll have a couple of glasses of wine instead of a bottle.
Yeah, right? I've noticed that. Yep.
And I was sitting last night next to an older couple. And
right.
They were just like a nice old couple sitting next to us. And we were very, very well behaved. And he leaned over and he said, what wine are you drinking? Is it nice? And I said, well, you tell me for yourself. And I went and got a glass and I poured him a glass and said, what do you think of it? And exchanged pleasantries. And then went and sat back down at my table. And then halfway through the night, we started talking again. Cut a long story short, it was a rich lister.
Oh, cool.
That's 9-figure rich lister that I accessed, you know what I mean? And the one thing I remembered is he could have had two experiences, right? One experience was we had a few too many glasses of wine, got too loud and boisterous. Because when you have four men at the table that have had one too many glasses of wine, you're boisterous, right? Instead, he sat next to really good people.
Yep.
When he asked a question, not only did he get, oh, it's a nice wine, he got, you try it, got a glass, blah, blah, blah. And I think being on that one glass less versus one glass more of alcohol, and we're at a size now as a business where we have to be well behaved.
People notice.
We are senior people.
People notice.
And we need to lead by, like you do with your sales team, lead by example.
Yep.
But this is really good. Yeah, so I've got three questions to end the podcast.
Right.
One, how do people follow you personally? What's your social media of choice?
Instagram.
Do you know your handle?
Stephen Pike NZ.
Cool. How do people find you professionally?
Through Williams Corporation website.
Yep.
Would be the best way.
And click Auckland.
You click Auckland.
Yep, your top icon.
Yep.
And then what would be your closing statement or statements? Yeah. What would be your closing advice to the listener?
Advice as a property purchaser, maybe?
Or you could do a few, whatever you
sure.
want. Yeah,
sure.
Maybe as a property purchaser, a salesperson and a sales manager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I suppose the key thing is that I've always said to Matthew and the customers, we don't need to sell your house. We sell them anyway. It's about making the right decision for where you want to be in your life going forward, whether it be an investment home, building your wealth, or whether it be your first home. And I always say the ones that don't get you are the ones that don't pull the trigger, because there's never a bad time. There's never a good time. It's just you never pick the bottom.
Yeah.
You never pick the top.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter because you're in the same market. So never be afraid on property. If you believe property is the right thing for you, believe property is going to be worth more in 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years' time.
Yeah.
And my belief it always will be.
Yeah.
Never be afraid to pull the trigger. But just make sure, whether it's with us or anyone else, no problem, know who you're dealing with.
Yeah.
All right? Because there's so many developers out there. You need to look at the history, you need to look at what they've built, you need to speak to the customers.
Yeah.
And how many times have customers been to our trade sites and spoke to our tradespeople?
Yeah, they do.
They do?
Yeah.
And they ask questions, are you being paid?
Yeah.
Yes, we get paid every week.
Yeah.
What's the bill process like?
Yeah.
You know, it happens all the time.
It does.
So I encourage even our customers to go and talk to people about us.
Yeah.
It's quite important.
And someone that bought a house 4 years ago, did they do their maintenance? Because we spend the money. We even do maintenance that we really probably shouldn't.
But like, the amazing thing is, what, 90 maintenance issues are how many hundreds of houses?
Hundreds. Yeah, and those maintenance issues could be as small as we touch up a clip here or there. Yeah.
Correct.
So advice to a young sales or to a salesperson?
To a young salesperson, work hard, but then work harder.
Good.
Because it is about time, it's about work ethic, and it's about you've got to be a person that enjoys helping people. If you're doing it for the money, it's not the job for you.
I like the saying, a man that walks for the enjoyment of walking will walk further than someone that loves the destination.
And that's exactly right.
And advice to a sales manager.
Sales manager, don't jump off the balcony.
Don't jump.
It'll always get better.
Right. That is fantastic. You nailed it. All right, everybody. I think that was absolutely exceptional. If you took value from this episode, please share it with one like-minded friend. That is our fee. We don't run ads. We do this for the love of doing it. Thank you very much. Have an awesome day.